both of these men are egotistical maniacs. Everybody knows that.
What's up? Welcome to The Rider and the Fighter. I am your co-host, David Golden from OregonSportsNews.com, with my main man, Jake Smith. What's happening, dude?
A.K.A. Little Bugatti.
Little Bugatti in the house.
We're going to change the name from The Rider and the Rapper.
It's going to be The Rider and the Rapper?
Yeah, I'm a rapper now.
So it's going to be about me both times?
Well, I mean, you used to.
Yeah, I gave used up. To rap. I'm
see,
a quitter.
So you can still be The Rider, because I feel like you used to write your raps. I don't. I just, off the dome. Off the dome.
Oh, so funny. Well, I'm glad you could make
time. I don't know
why
that's funny.
I'm glad you could make time to join me here.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, I don't know if you checked outside, but I got a new ride, too.
Is it a Bugatti?
No. No. No, a little Bugatti only drives around in Maseratis. All right. Okay?
Okay.
I want to make that clear. I know a lot of people are thinking like, oh, but your name's Little Bugatti. Yeah, but it's spelled different. All right? You can call me Little Boo. You can call me Little Gatti. You know, I got a lot of aliases.
What about Little Boogie?
Little Boogie would be cool, too. I like that. That's a new one. Add that to the list. We'll just...
A.K.A.
Yeah. You know, I mean, I'm just doing big shit now. Like, I don't know how much longer I'm going to be able to do this podcast. But, I mean, we can figure it out. Like, I can send you, like, you know, audio clips when I'm on my jet plane and just...
Yeah,
we'll make it work.
Doing all that'll work. Yeah, we'll that's fine. You're big timey, like Ricky Simone.
Yeah, let's not talk about that asshole.
Hollywood.
We talked too much about him. You know what's funny is they called me Hollywood. Did you know that?
Who calls you Hollywood?
All those guys. All the my little entourage, as I like to call them, because they're
pretty. Ricky Simone calls you Hollywood.
Yes. So Ricky he calls me Hollywood. Walker calls me Hollywood. Austin Springer was calling me Hollywood. They're all calling me Hollywood after my fight. But in reality, it's fucking Ricky who is Hollywood.
Yeah.
Right?
A little bit.
A little bit. You know, he's all like,
ooh. I still think he should... Someone posted a thing about like what nickname he should have. I think Pretty Ricky Simone would be the name.
You know, he had a nickname, but he refuses to use it.
What was it?
It's Two Scoop. It's Two Scoop.
Ricky Two Scoop Simone.
It's Ricky Two Scoop Simone. Yeah.
That's fun.
Because we're still amateurs at the time. Everyone knows the rule. You can't pick your own nickname. Ricky tried to pick his own nickname. He tried to call himself the Pacific Northwest Warrior. What? That's the
it's
lamest.
Too long.
Yeah, right? He even changed his Twitter handle at one point. The Pacific Northwest Warrior 135.
That's
or something.
Ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, I hate it when people try to pick their own nicknames, and
it's ridiculous.
I think the two worst cases, one is Robert Whittaker, who's fighting tonight.
What's his?
His is the Reaper. Robert the Reaper Whittaker.
He picked that himself?
Yeah, but well, I mean, either he picked it himself or he just loves it. Yeah, so he had a nickname that he earned through like fans and media. They started calling him Bobby Knuckles. And I thought it was way fucking better than the Reaper, and he shot it down super hard. People like brought it up to him, like media members said it to him, and he was not feeling it. And I'm thinking like, really? You know, you telling people not to call you Bobby Knuckles is just going to make people call you Bobby Knuckles. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, and they just gave you like the dopest nickname. Like,
I think that's tight.
Dude, that's way better than the Reaper.
Yeah.
And then what's his name? Dude in Bellator, who left the UFC.
Not John Fitch. Oh, Rory McDonald.
Rory McDonald.
The
Red King, and he was Aries, and he's changed his nickname like three times.
Yeah.
You just need to be the creepy murderer or the murderer or
American
something.
Can't be American Psycho.
Canadian Psycho. Yeah, any something like that, because you...
What is that movie?
You have murder in your eyeballs, man.
What's that movie with Christian Bale?
Is it American Psycho?
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Oh, never mind. Okay, can't be that name.
No.
But he is that guy, essentially.
Yeah.
Right?
He's got that weird look in his eyes all the time.
Do you know like, who else gave himself a nickname?
Huh?
Walker.
Oh, yeah.
Called himself the Iceman, right? And then he started doing the whole... I don't know if this is a nickname or what, but the whole Walker mania, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I tried talking to him, but I was like, listen, You can't be doing that. You can't give yourself a nickname. Like, you don't think I want to give myself a nickname? If I can give myself a nickname, do you know what it'd be? Fucking Warlord. Why? Because that's cool as shit. But guess what? It's not. I'm half Black Attack. I didn't pick it. It is what it is.
Yeah.
You know? Still think it's kind of cool.
Josh Barnett changed his nickname.
The War Master.
Yeah, and he clearly gave himself that. But you know what? If you're Josh Barnett and you're like former UFC champion and, you know, you've had all these fights and been around a long time, whatever.
He's pretty brutal too. Yeah, I mean,
and you can't be the baby-faced assassin when you're like 45.
Yeah. I wonder if he gave himself that name. Probably not. But so back to Ricky real quick, because I know he's listening. I was going to say this on that other fucking podcast, but they canceled on me. So Ricky's nickname is Two Scoop. It's a funny story. Is that we're both amateurs, and this was a time when we're both working full time, so we had to get our training in when we could. So we'd go to the mall before our gym would open, because that's where we train. So we'd get in, we had keys, we'd go in, and he just got done working, I think, an all-nighter or some shit. And like, but he shows up to the gym, and this is, like I said, we're early in our career, so we're thinking pre-workout is like the best shit ever, right? We're like, oh my god, this pre-workout's great, I could do whatever. So, you know, everyone would take pre-workout, which is complete garbage, you don't need it. This fool takes two scoops, right? You're only supposed to do one. He does two scoops, and he's bragging about it. He's like, oh, I did two scoops today. He's like, I'm gonna fuck you guys up. Da 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 da, right in his mouth, right? And Jess Moore, our buddy, his strength coach now, and it was me, him, Jess Moore, and we're doing like kind of these round robin kind of things. Mm-hmm. And me and Jess just beat the shit out of Ricky this day. And, you know, of course, I'm way bigger than Ricky. But we put it on him, and the whole time we're just laughing. We're like, oh, fucking two scoop over here. And we would call him that, you know, and he had a couple fights where he got announced as two scoop, but he hated it. Because Ricky is that kind of guy, like he I want to say he takes himself too serious, because he doesn't. But when it comes to like competition, he does not like being reminded of times when he doesn't do well, right?
Yeah.
So I think that's why he doesn't like the nickname. You know, I mean, it's not an intimidating nickname either.
Yeah.
But, so he's Two Scoop. So all those out there, refer to him as Two Scoop, and that's especially going to piss him off. So Ricky Two Scoop Simone, that's his nickname.
Yeah, well, I think some of the best nicknames are ones people don't really want.
Exactly.
Rich Franklin is Rich Ace Franklin, because he looked like Ace Ventura, is what they said.
Was that what it was?
Yeah,
that's what they said. The first time I ever saw him, someone introduced him as the evil Jim Carrey to me.
The evil Jim Carrey.
Yeah, like that wasn't even his nickname. I just thought, I was like, oh, I thought that was his nickname. Like, I think my first UFC card he was on that I watched... When he knocked out Ken Shamrock.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, someone was like, oh, yeah, they call this dude the evil Jim Carrey. And I was like, oh, right, this guy's fucking cool. I like him.
I loved Rich Franklin. He was one of my favorite fighters.
Yeah, I dig him, too. I liked his pink shorts. The pink and brown was kind of weird color combination. But yeah, it's kind of weird. He just kind of, you know, just stopped winning. He didn't make a, you know, retirement announcement. He didn't have a retirement fight.
Yeah.
He just kind of just slowly just drifted out, which is weird.
Yeah, it's a little weird, but, you know, whatever. I mean, he had a lot of great fights. I
don't think he gets the credit. I don't think enough people, like, remember how good he was.
No, they don't. Because of the two Anderson Silva fights, they'll just forget about him because of those. And I talked at length about one of those fights with Ben Eggley one time.
Yeah.
And if you watch the second fight, Rich Franklin's actually winning the first round right up until the end. He gets clipped and he gets dropped.
Yeah.
But prior to that, he's winning the round. Like,
no, yeah, I remember him doing good.
He did well in coming back. Obviously, that first fight with Anderson Silva did not go the way he wanted. You know, but at that time, nobody knew how good Anderson Silva really was. Nobody saw that coming. I mean, even when he signed with the UFC, it was a big deal, but it wasn't like the biggest deal in the world. It was just surprising that they signed one of these guys that people expected to be a pride guy or stay in Japan or whatever.
Really? But, back when he came around, I was maybe, I don't think I was in high school yet. I might have been in middle school still.
Yeah.
So, like, I wasn't balls deep into UFC. Honestly, I remember referring to MMA as UFCing. Like I would have like these not necessarily underground boxing, but I would have more front yard boxing, right?
Sure.
With kids around town, I'd be like, oh, let's do UFC rules. And like, that's what, you know, that's what we do. It'd just be boxing with takedowns, you know?
Yeah.
And no kicks, but yeah, we're doing UFC rules. So like, I had no idea there was even hype around Rich Franklin. Like, when he came on the scene, it was just kind of like, oh, this guy's here, you know? Like, yeah. To me, it was just like, okay, there's another guy. So I never got that whole, you know, so I guess
the build up for him.
Yeah. Yeah. So what he was expected to go to Pride.
Well, no, Anderson Silva, when Anderson Silva,
oh,
signed,
you're talking about
UFC,
Anderson Silva.
Yeah. When,
oh,
he came,
my bad,
over. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was talking about Rich.
No. When Anderson Silva came over, I think that the thought was that, you know, these guys from Japan weren't going to come to America.
I see.
And he was the first guy that kind of jumped ship and came over.
That makes sense.
And they expected a lot from him, but I don't think they expected what they got. They weren't ready for it. And
he had a few losses in Pride, right?
I think he had two. And one was like a really weird... It was Rio a really Chonin. Fluke. Yeah, it was a fluke loss. It was like a...
Yeah. Flying scissor.
Yeah, it was like a scissor takedown knee bar thing. It was...
Yeah, Chonin.
Yeah, but
I used to be a big Chonin fan.
Yeah, so it was interesting when he came over, and especially because the UFC had put kind of all of their eggs in the Rich Franklin basket outside of Randy Couture and Chuck Liddell. Rich Franklin was like one of the guys they promoted very heavily, and they really liked him. And he was, you know, he was like more of a cerebral guy. He put a lot of thought into his workouts. He was one of the first guys who they would talk about his heart rate being really slow, you know, his resting heart rate is da 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 da, and they would show these videos him doing all this circuit training and stuff, and it was different than what other people were doing at the time, you know, and so it was interesting, but I love watching his old fights. In fact, my wife's favorite fight is the Rich Franklin Edward Deweese fight, which a lot of people don't really think about that as like a great fight, but there's a point where Rich Franklin has Edwin Deweese on the ground against the cage, and he just throws this giant kick right into his stomach and ribs, like while he's laying down, and nobody was doing that shit. Yeah. You know, even now people don't utilize that enough.
It's very rare.
And then Rich Franklin would lean over. He'd do this thing where he'd stand up with his legs spread really wide, and he'd lean forward, and he'd just start throwing punches.
Yeah.
And we would always call it doing the Rich Franklin, because he would get people in these spots, and his legs would get out wide, and he'd stand straight up, just, he'd lean over you and throw punches.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's kind of funny.
Yeah,
but
I need to go back and watch
that nickname.
Some of
his
stuff.
But his nickname was Ace was, you know, I'm sure he didn't want that. But
see, I didn't know it had ties to Ace Ventura, but that makes sense.
Yeah.
I was just thinking like, oh, like Ace, like, oh, he's an, you know, Ace of Spades or fucking whatever.
No. Nothing cool like that.
Yeah, that's neat. Yeah, I kind of want to go back and watch some old Rich Franklin stuff now.
Yeah, I'm sure now if you go back and watch it, it's
I bet you there's a lot
awesome.
Of shit that you can get from his fights that people aren't doing today anymore that you can implement today.
I think it's probably true of a lot of fighters.
People
forget about.
I think a lot of like little techniques people are thinking it's outdated, but you can go back and use now. So I think I'm going to do that. I think I'm going to go back and watch some Rich Franklin stuff.
Yeah, jump in, take a look. It's never a bad idea.
Might as well.
Educate yourself, get schooled. It's always good. Like you've said in the past, you're good at mimicking styles that you see anyway. So if you see something he does, maybe you can incorporate it. That'd be fun.
Sure can.
Surprise Chael in some training. Tell him that's a little Bugatti exclusive.
A little Bugatti.
Land something on him.
Well, next time I do rounds with Chael and I'm beating him up, I'm just be just dropping lines, just spitting rhymes at him. He's going to be like, what is this about? I'm like, you don't follow me on Twitter, but I'm a rapper. My bio on Twitter says I rap now. So... That's, you know, this day in the life of little Bugatti, you know? I don't like that we're laughing about this because this is serious.
All right, I'll take it serious.
This is real shit, man.
Well, let's talk about someone who, if they had to be a rapper, they'd be Big Bugatti because they can't make weight.
Yeah.
And that's Big Bad Yoel Romero. This guy missed weight again.
Big Jesus.
He missed weight for two title fights in a row.
Two in a row.
How do you do that? I mean, I know how you do that.
Well,
but seriously.
He's old as fuck, too.
Yeah, he's like 41, right? He's old. But still, man, like, you can't miss weight for two title fights in a row. Like,
No, I'm with you 100%.
That's completely
absurd. It's really weird, especially since, you know, he is this Olympian wrestler, you know, I guarantee you in wrestling, he never missed weight. You know, I heard reports from last time that he had an injury, so he couldn't really do the stuff he normally does to lose the mm-hmm. weight, hurt his leg or some shit. I don't know. But this time, I mean, even before the weigh-ins, there was he was supposed to do his open workout,
mm-hmm.
and then he canceled it. He's like, "Oh, I have an issue with my eye. Something's going on with his eye." That's what he said, right? So he canceled his open workout. So, I mean, even before the weigh-in, I was already kind of like, the fuck? Like, something's going on with him. So
yeah, but he even hired some guys to help him with his weight cut. Like,
maybe there's probably something going on behind the scenes that we don't know. And the fact that he's getting a title fight, he's just saying, fuck it, I'm going to train through it. You know?
Yeah.
Or when he said the whole eye thing, he was having such a hard time with his weight cut that he just like, I don't have the energy to do this open workout. I don't want people to see how, you know, shitty I'm doing.
Yeah.
So looks like I mean, this is recorded on the day of the fight. So, I mean, I don't know. I think he's going to lose. So when you guys hear this, what happened.
I mean, I think I think he's going to lose either way. Make weight or not, you know, you already lost to the guy. You said it before, you know,
yeah.
the younger fighter beat you. They're probably going to beat you again. Robert Whittaker's only gotten better. But I guess if you were going to beat Robert Whittaker, now is the time, right?
Because he just had that layoff.
He had this long layoff. Yeah. So this is the one shot that you have, essentially. But I just don't like the way it's being handled by mm-hmm. Romero and his team behind the scenes now.
What do you mean?
So I guess that he goes up, he weighs 186, and they give him
2 hours.
They give him 2 hours to make the weight, which is only allowed for people fighting for a title.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
If you're the regular, like,
if you missed,
I don't
the
know
first
if it's
time,
true in it. Illinois, but in Nevada and in California now, it's like you have to make the weight on your first attempt.
Oh shit! What?
Yeah,
this is new to me.
Maybe I'm remembering it wrong. I mean, we could go back and look it up. But
no, that's fine.
But in Illinois, no matter what, he's got 2 hours, right?
Yeah,
he's got the 2 hour window, and that's what all the reports said, was he had 2 hours to make weight. He came back and didn't make weight, but he weighed in so goddamn close, 185.2. Like, to miss by 0.2 seems crazy.
Yeah,
and so he comes out and he says, "Hey, I could have kept cutting weight. They made me stop an hour into it."
Yeah.
And so I was kind of looking all over for the athletic commission saying something like that. And I couldn't find any reports from them directly. But Ariel Helwani had posted about it, and he said, like, his sources told him that that's what happened. And then Romero's camp confirmed that's what happened. They came in and they told him, "Hey, we don't think you look, you look like you're in good enough shape to keep going on this cut. Like, you don't look healthy."
Yeah.
And apparently he had a doctor there with him, and the doctor said, no, he's like, he can keep going. Like, the doctor didn't object, but the athletic commission can overrule the doctor.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at the pictures of him on the scale, like, man, he was sucked out. Like, you
pretty
could
bad.
See, well, they said, like, what I read, said that the athletic commission showed up, he was completely dry. He was bone dry. Like, when he was in, you know, an hour into this weight cut. So that's not good.
Mm-hmm.
He has, you can see skeletal formations in his face.
Yeah.
You can see the veins, like, sucked up against his skull that he had. Like,
mm-hmm.
it didn't look good. I mean, it looked really bad. And then apparently when he was walking to and from the stage, he had to have people help him walk.
That. Yeah.
You know, if your legs have given out on you, you should probably stop trying to cut the weight.
You know what's, like, fucked up too? Is UFC no IVs? You can't use an IV, mm-hmm. so you have to rehydrate orally, and, you know, fucking hope for the best, which is retarded. Am I allowed to say that? Am I gonna get fucking flagged for that?
I don't think so.
I sure hope not. Like, I feel like in this world of today, like, you have to be really careful with everything we say.
I might not have said it, but, you know, whatever.
It's he didn't say it. I said it. So come after me, I guess. Hashtag me as well. So I don't know, man. Too much coffee. But, you know, I don't know, man. I think, you know, and then also President Dana White also came out earlier this week saying the whole early morning weigh-ins are done because of people missing weight. which
it's not going to stop people from missing weight.
It's not
the stupidest thing. That's the most backwards logic ever.
Yeah.
Like, that's so dumb. Like, what? You get there earlier.
Yep.
You have the same amount of time to cut the weight.
Yep.
Like allot yourself the same amount of time.
Yep.
Like, that is so stupid. You signed the contract. You knew when the fucking weight cut was. Yeah. Whether it's tomorrow or today, you know when this cut is.
Yeah.
Like, it has nothing to do with it being early. Like, it's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
It's so dumb.
Like, you don't like to cut at night? Oh, do you like to cut weight during the day?
Yeah. Like, does someone, that make it better? Who was it? Oh, Big John. He goes, the reason why people are missing so much weight for the weigh-ins is because most saunas are closed at night. So it's making it less available for fighters to cut weight during the nighttime, which isn't true either, because you have 24-hour. You can go 24-hour fitness, whatever. Also, there's bathtubs you can use to cut weight. There's all these different options. So even if that is the case, who cares? What it is fighters are trying to make these weight classes because everyone's doing it. Everyone's, you know, it's coming down to
the advantage.
Exactly. Or even not even the advantage. It's just to keep it relatively, you know, the same. Like, for me, I'm dropping down to 155 because everyone at 170 is so much bigger than me. Mm-hmm. And when I drop down to 55, guess what? I'm still not big for 55. I'm not a big 155er at all.
You're not huge.
No.
But, like, you're not stupid enough to think that you can cut to 145.
No. Like,
why are you going to do that to yourself? That's the dumbest thing ever. I mean, we were talking about it earlier. You're trying to diet to, you know, keep your weight where you want it. Mm-hmm. And being in a calorie deficit is making you feel lightheaded at times if you're not careful. And, like, and that's just your regular day-to-day life. You're not even cutting weight. You're just trying to keep your weight, you know, at a spot where it's going to make for a healthy cut.
Yeah.
But that's the point. You're paying attention. You know that come potentially, you know, the fall, you're going to have a fight and you have to be ready to cut that weight. Like,
yeah. So I'm preparing
that option
3 to 4 months ahead of time, because that's what a professional athlete does.
Well, you know, that's how long your weight cut should take. Unless you're constantly in the gym and your weight is exactly where you want it all the time.
Yeah.
Like, why would you not consider, you know, taking advantage a couple of months out when you know it's coming? You know, it's not a 2-week process.
No, that's, you know, and I mean, you know, everyone can give their advice. Like, it's last week, I was saying ad nauseum, this is what every conversation with MMA is around right now. It's, you know, weight cutting. But now when the promotion is making it, they're thinking more about the dollars than they are the fighter safety. Obviously, it's ridiculous. Yeah. Like, I mean, the reason why the UFC wants to go back to the old weigh-ins is because, one, now fights aren't getting canceled, right? That are causing them money, or, you know, providing them money.
I guess, but realistically, fights are going to be more likely to get canceled because now you don't have a day to find a replacement opponent if you need to.
Well, No. I mean, I hope the missing weight continues. I really do. I hope more people miss weight. I think that's what we need. I think right now we need it to where everyone's missing weight, right? And then now it's going to force the commissions, all the, you know, promoters, whatever, to really think about what is the best solution to this. Mm-hmm.
They need to reevaluate. They need to look at it.
Yeah.
And they need to understand that, weight classes exist for a reason, but maybe weight classes need to have, maybe they don't need to have maxes, right? Like, maybe there needs to be a range. Like, what if 185, the day of the fight, you had to weigh in between, you know, 182 and 180, you know, 188, you know, what if there's a range? I mean, granted, you're still going to have people missing weight because some people cutting are going to be too big.
Yeah.
However, you know, maybe something like that where it caps out differently, or, you know, or you introduce more weight classes, but that dilutes championships, right?
And that's, well, there's the that. And also people are going to still try to make that new weight class, or, well, you know what I mean?
That's always going to be an issue, but that's the UFC's job to say, you know what, you want to sign this contract for this fight, we don't think you can fight it that way, and they've done it with fighters. Do it with more fighters.
What does One do?
You know what? Next week, let's talk about what One does, and I will.
Okay.
I'll look through their whole thing, because I don't know enough about it. But yeah, I have seen a lot of people saying that it would solve a lot of these problems.
Well, it seems that I mean, it has over there. I mean, Askren, he says that he's, you know, the welterweight champion, but they made their welterweight division 185.
Mm-hmm.
Because they hydrate you throughout the camp, or not hydrate you, but they check your hydration throughout the camp and whatever. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that makes sense, you know? I mean,
yeah.
I don't know, man.
Yeah, I don't know exactly how it works. So next week we'll talk about it, because I want to read it, you know, read over their policy and check it all out. I should have done that this week, but I didn't think that Yoel Romero was going to miss weight yesterday.
I didn't cross my mind either.
Didn't see that coming. Nope. I thought, oh, you finally have the title shot you're looking for. Let's make weight.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I mean, he also said that he would have no problem going up to 205 to fight Cormier.
That's fine, but I'm not going to... Dana White came out and said that, you know, if he wins this fight, he wants him to move to 205, fight the number one contender,
Gustafson,
and then see what happens from there. Personally, I don't want to see him in a number one contenders fight if he's missed weight for two title fights in a row. I think you need to throw him against the number three or four best guy. And yeah, he's probably going to smash him, but prove that you can make that weight, because Rumble Johnson had that problem.
He missed weight
when he moved up in weight. You can't just assume that it's going to work out perfectly, man. Just because you give them more weight doesn't mean they're going to take advantage properly, you know?
No, definitely.
It's crazy to me. And I just, it bothers me. And I have for a long time written articles about weight cutting and issues that there have been, and I've written things that I thought could be, you know, suggested solutions, but realistically they're not. There's no real solution to it. It's just a matter of making sure that the people you get to sign the contract are people you believe are going to be able to make the weight. If you don't think that the fighter can make the weight, then, you know, if you're the promotion, if you're the UFC, if you're Bellator, if you're ONE FC, if you're Ryzen, whatever you are, don't let them sign the contract.
Yeah.
You put that contract in front of them knowing, you know, like you could have said, hey, Yoel Romero, before we let you sign this contract, will you step on a scale for me right now?
Yeah,
I want to see what you weigh.
Yeah.
Oh, you weigh 235 pounds. You know what? I don't want you to fight at 185.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
You know,
but I mean, again, though, they don't care. Let's be honest.
No, I know they don't care.
Yeah.
But in the end, you're not going to be able to build a star.
No, definitely.
If they can't make weight.
Yeah.
That's what happened with John Lineker, right? They thought they had this wild, you know, lightning
killer
in a bottle guy. They thought he was going to be the guy to set 125 on fire. Everybody was going to love him because he could knock people out at 125 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Why could he knock people out at 135 pounds? Because he's not 125 pounds. Fighter.
Yeah.
He's way bigger. Like, you know, he may not be way taller, but he's wider. He's strong, you know, and he's not built for that weight class. And when he missed weight like four times for that, you know, at that weight class, they should have thought, boy, this is crazy. Let's not have him do that. You know, but they knew he missed weight. He had a history of missing weight before he came to the promotion. Like, why are you gonna do this? You know, like all along the way. And it's just, you know, it's just crazy. It's just crazy to me. You know, gone are the days that a guy like GSP exists, where he's going to make weight for every 170 pound fight that he's going to be in.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be this big giant dude. And he knew it. He knew that day was gone for him. That's why he fought at 185 pounds. You know, he's smart. He understands that.
But now he's saying he can fight 155.
Yeah, now he's saying that. But until he can step on the scale at 155,
right?
I'm not going to believe it. I don't buy it.
I don't buy it either.
You know, I'm not gonna buy it. He's a big guy. Like,
it's weird. Like,
I mean, so and maybe he's the exception to the rule, right? Because he's like the super freak.
He's
athlete.
Like the super. Like, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, like Canada, like, you know, grabbed his baby and like changed his genes or something. Because I hear he can eat whatever he wants.
Yeah, they put him on the Captain America program. That's what they did.
So, yeah, something's going on there.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he does his. I don't want to, you know, speculate and be like, oh, you know, he obviously was doing stuff or this and that, but, you know, he disappeared for a little bit and then he comes back and he still says USADA isn't that good. And
And allegedly Kenny Florian said he's a roider and a greaser. So, you know.
Oh, Kenny Florian said that?
He allegedly said that to BJ Penn in his camp, that GSP was a roider and a greaser. And then wouldn't you know it, GSP greased up in his fight with BJ Penn.
He did.
Video evidence.
I saw the greasing, but really, I didn't. I see it. So I do remember, like, you know, the grease gate.
It's just
that.
What I heard.
But is that really what BJ Penn? BJ
There's
Penn
a
said?
Quote from BJ Penn
saying
that
Kenny
says,
Florian.
Kenny told me he's a roider and a greaser. That's a real quote.
I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. I gotta.
I wouldn't be surprised either. I mean, you know, that's anybody in a position to take a performance enhancing drug, like if you know it's one that you're not going to get caught for, a lot of guys are going to do it, man. Yeah. I mean, look at the NFL; they don't test for HGH. Julian Edelman just got popped. Got those special prescriptions from Tom Brady's personal doctor. So you know, I'm not saying anything about Tom Brady, but you know, 40-year-old dudes don't generally light the league on fire and win Super Bowls.
No, it's my diet. I don't eat any nightshade vegetables. Shut up.
I make love to flowers.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Tom Brady.
I hate Tom Brady and his wonky eye.
Yeah, I hate Tom Brady.
Ugh. Hey, talking about people I hate, LeBron James last night got eliminated.
I feel bad for him.
Why? Why do you feel bad for him?
Because I love
why
LeBron.
Why do you like him?
Because he's incredible. He's incredible, man.
He took
a shitty team that got completely overhauled at the break, got them to the finals essentially on his back. He didn't have a teammate to drop 40 for him.
Out of here.
He does not have an all-star team behind him. He's incredible, man. You can try to act like he's not.
Timeout. Do you want to know why I'm so anti-LeBron?
Because he's so fucking good?
No. Yes. He started the whole super team thing, and everyone likes to forget it. He chased after a champ. He left his team to go get a championship, right? He went to Miami. They're like, oh, let's get Chris Boswell and Dwayne Wade and LeBron James, these mega three together on this one super team. And what'd they do? They go and win, and then everyone's like, oh, LeBron's a GOAT and blah 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 blah.
Nah, he was good before that, man.
No, he's good. Don't get me wrong. No, look, good.
He didn't get to 8 NBA finals in a row just because he signed on a team with Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade, and like,
but
that's
that
not
got
what
him, that got him to
that got
four?
Him two rings, but it doesn't matter. I'm saying he took back in the day, he took Cleveland to the finals, and yeah, they lost, but he did it on his back. He's done it again. I'm telling you, man, he's incredible. The people who hate on him just don't understand how fucking good he is, man.
No, he's legit. I will say that
you sound like a Trailblazers fan right now.
I'm not a Blazers fan. The biggest group of haters on earth.
And I'll tell you what, I'm a Lakers fan. I've been a Lakers fan my whole goddamn life, and I'm going to stay a fucking Lakers fan. But if LeBron James signs with Portland, I'll be the first fucking guy with a LeBron Portland jersey.
Gross.
I fucking love LeBron.
That's
and
gross.
You can hate on it, but you know who else left a good team to go to a big team? Shaquille O'Neal, because he just walked away from Orlando
out,
Magic,
though,
went to the Lakers.
The Lakers were not a big team, though, when he came.
The Lakers, just because they sucked then doesn't mean they're not a
and
big
then when
team.
He got
they are
there,
still the Lakers. They're still a huge
okay,
draw.
But when he got there, they were still pretty bad for a few more years until Kobe found his leggings, because Eddie Jones, Nick Van Exel, they weren't winning shit.
Yeah, no, for sure Kobe and Shaq together were the tandem, but that doesn't mean that they were going to win a bunch of championships until they got Robert Horry, who they pulled away from Houston.
No one talks about him like he's this big star. If anything,
no, but he's the guy dropping big shots. He won.
He was winning at the buzzer. No, Horry, I don't think
they
gets
had,
his credit.
I'm just saying, if you don't think that Shaq, Kobe, Horry, Rick Fox, and those guys together were not like a super team, you're crazy.
No. They weren't brought in as a super team, though.
I know, but that's not how the league existed back then. It was different then than it is
exactly.
Now. You didn't have
so
free
Kobe,
agency the way it is.
So this is my rankings.
But
okay?
LeBron went back to Cleveland.
He
did not have to, and he won a championship.
He did. But
and then everyone says LeBron James
doesn't have people around him, right? They're like, oh, he doesn't have this, that bullshit. Kevin Love is a big name.
Kevin Love is the best player they have on the team outside of LeBron, and he was averaging about 20-10 through the playoffs, which is awesome. But go look at LeBron's numbers. Let me just say this.
He's also a big whiner. He whines and snivels every fucking play. Anything happens to him, I'm hurt.
Yes, he's a bit of a pussy. Uh-huh. That we can agree on. He's a bit of a pussy.
He is.
And I won't say that as a problem. But when the commentators are saying, boy, LeBron needs to have a better night, and he literally has a triple double and over 30 points, and they're talking about he's having kind of an off night. I don't know what it is.
I didn't hear that.
Are
all
you
I
out of
hear.
Your fucking
Every time.
Mind? You just said a guy who's got over 30 points, a triple double, is his shots are going in over 70%
of
the time inside the paint. You're telling
inside
me
inside the paint because he's a big body. You can't stop.
No,
him.
Of
that's
course
the thing.
Not. Of
his
course
attributes,
not.
But
his,
if you're looking
from three,
at him,
he's whack. But
from
that's
a shooter
not his whole game.
Standpoint, doesn't matter. My point is, from a shooter standpoint and his legacy overall, is going to reflect the fact that he had to go find another team to get his championships. That's why he left. He left because of his legacy. He didn't do it because, you know, he's like, oh, this is, you know, I'm not happy in Cleveland. He did it specifically for championships, correct?
Yeah. Correct? I would say it's about half. It's about half. I think part of it back, is he didn't like, he obviously doesn't get along with Dan Gilbert, the owner, won't sign a long-term deal with him. And
also,
I think he wanted to play with his friends because I don't think he got along with a lot of the guys on the Cavs. And then homeboy hooked up with his mom. He didn't like that.
Yeah, I forgot about the mom.
You know, I'm just saying, cool. Like, LeBron gets hated on for being one of the best players
I hate him
to
because
ever
of
touch
that.
A fucking basketball.
I hate him for that. And I think everyone that says that, oh no, he's this goat, and da, 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 I think you have to take that into consideration, what he did in his career. Yeah. And I think that takes away from the goat. I think that goat conversation, I think that takes away from it.
Yeah, maybe it takes away from it. And I'm not saying he's like usurping Michael Jordan because he's not.
No,
you know,
Kobe's the best.
And for me, I take Kobe, right? Yeah, Kobe's my
best,
guy.
Yeah.
But the hate on LeBron is unwarranted. He's incredible. He's incredible. Yeah. He's a top five player all time.
1,000%. I agree. 100%.
He's playing better ball at 34 years old than he has ever. Yeah. It's insane.
Which, you know, going back to the Tom Brady talk, who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows?
Who knows? For right? sure. Who knows?
Who knows?
If we go back to that performance enhancing deal. But
the reason why I just wanted to bring that, because I was pretty happy that he lost. Why?
I wasn't. You know why? Because I hate the Warriors.
Here's my thing.
Listening to this, if you live in California and you tell me you were a Warriors fan your whole life, you're a fucking liar.
Yeah.
I grew up in the Bay Area. I didn't see one of you assholes wearing a Warriors jersey. Maybe one or two people had a Chris Mullin jersey. Maybe one or two people had a Tim Hardaway jersey. But none of my friends had my crossover Tim Hardaway's breakout book. Nobody had that shit. None of my friends were out there going, oh man, Latrell Sprewell is the shit. Oh man, Chris Webber
hey,
is the shit.
Hey, wait a minute.
Because they weren't.
Sprewell's got famous. Well, he got big
for his
because
stupid
of fucking rims.
But I'm saying, like, I watch these guys get no support forever.
Oh,
nobody
no,
liked
sure.
them. And I'm not going to jump ship on the Lakers to be a fucking Warriors fan you douchebags. There's nothing I hate worse. You know what the Warriors fans are? They're just like Seahawks fans.
Yep.
They've been fans as long as their newborn babies have been fans of the team.
Yeah.
It's like, you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Like,
I
where
will
were
say
you
this.
Seahawks fans, you know, 15 years ago? You were quiet in the streets. I've had a 49er flag hanging up at my house my entire life, and it's not going to change. Like, and I'm not going to root for the fucking Warriors. You guys are garbage to me. I hate you. If Steph Curry breaks both his legs, I wouldn't care.
I will say this. I'm not a Warriors fan, right? I will say, but I do enjoy watching them play. I think they're fun to watch.
I can appreciate the game, but I'm not going to cheer for the team.
I cheer for them when they go against the Cavs. That's the only time I cheer for them. You know what? Honestly, like I am a Lakers guy, whatever. But I've actually fallen out of basketball. I used to be huge into basketball. That's all I did every day. I'd go play basketball. Da da da. I thought I was gonna be a basketball player, honestly. And then you know, I just
stopped growing.
What happened was the sport. Well, no, what happened is the sport got soft. It's just soft as fuck, right? Foul this, foul that. And I was like, I can't watch.
Yeah,
this.
Gone are the days of the Charles Barkley's being out
right?
there rough and you know rough and tough. Dennis Rodman's not going to be around anymore.
So I stopped watching basketball, but I'm kind of coming back to it now. And I got to say, if I had to pick a team who I wanted like, it's going to be the Thunder. I like the Thunder.
I'm not mad at the Thunder.
The reason why, like, I feel like Westbrook, you know, he kind of got fucked over, like with the whole Kevin Durant thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I like Kevin Durant
a little bit, but boy, how good does James Harden look out of those three now? On
right, that's another
God
thing too.
Damn.
They had this team that felt, you know, everyone
and they
like,
were like
Westbrook ever gonna
Westbrook and Durant are so great, and then boy, James Harden sure looks like the looks like the top dog out of those three.
So, I mean, I would like to say OKC to win something. I think that'd be cool if they were to just win one. You know, me and my dad were talking about this. I really hope that they bring back the Seattle Supersonics.
That would be dope.
Because I think if they do, I would be a Seattle Supersonics fan.
Yeah.
I would go back to that.
Whenever I'm watching a Thunder game, I got a buddy who was a huge Sonics fan.
Yeah.
And one day he's like, oh, what game are you watching? I'm like, oh, I'm watching the Sonics and whoever. He gets so mad. If you want to piss an old Sonics fan off, call the Thunder the Sonics. They get so pissed.
I kind of look at him like that. I'm like, you know. So that's kind of why I'm like, I'll go for them, you know, just because. Like, the fact that I was a Lakers fan my whole life was just because of my dad. It wasn't because I grew up in LA.
Yeah.
You know? So I feel like I should maybe like a single team around my area because I hate the Seahawks. I don't like the Blazers.
I don't hate the Blazers, man.
I used to hate them a lot more. I don't as much anymore because I feel bad for them.
Yeah.
Damian Lillard, I think, deserves to win something.
Yeah, he's good, man.
And I hope he does, you know, but...
Yeah.
I mean, fuck, man. The Blazers are fuck-ups. They could have had Kevin Durant.
Yeah, they could have.
How fucked up was that? They could have had Michael Jordan back in the day.
Yeah.
Like, all these players that they could have had.
Hey, there's a lot of teams that could have had.
They're the Browns.
There's a lot of teams that could have had Tom Brady. They could have had Joe Montana. They could have had Jerry Rice.
Man.
But you know what? I think certain players will thrive in different environments.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying the Blazers are cursed, but I don't know what would have happened if Durant came
if
to
came.
Portland. You know?
But imagine if they had Durant and Lillard.
Yeah, that would be pretty tough.
Right.
That'd be pretty tough, but
fucked up.
Whatever.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
You know. But
man.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. You know,
crazy.
Sports. Yeah, hey, sports. We're the sports guys. We talk about sports and and sometimes rap.
Yeah. It's funny when we sat down to talk about, you know, starting this podcast. I was like,
yeah.
Well, we just got to make sure we don't talk too much about football because, you know, fight guys aren't always football guys. And,
yeah.
And Jake and I are both big football guys. And so we were like talking about, let's not talk too much, but we just talked 20 minutes on LeBron.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it just happened. Everyone watches the finals, I think, at least like the at least basketball finals. Like, I'll miss the whole season. I'll just watch the playoffs for the NBA.
Yeah. Well, the season's so goddamn long.
It is too many games.
Too many games, just like the UFC has too many fights.
Too many fights, oversaturated. And I even the finals itself was like, you know, you see the ceremony and this and that. It's very lackluster for the NBA because it's fucking drawn out so long.
We're
the Super Bowl. It's a big deal.
One like, game.
Right? Everyone's coming. You know, everyone's excited. Like, oh, shit. You know,
everybody,
it's a big ceremony regardless of where you're at. But the NBA, it's kind of like, all right, you guys win. Here's your trophy.
Yeah. And then, everybody likes winner take all.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's why in fighting, those tournaments are so appealing, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's why like the K-1 Grand Prix was so appealing.
Yeah,
that's why this
like
heavyweight
that.
Grand Prix is so appealing. The only difference in the Bellator, obviously,
it's
stretched out. But that's only because of sanctions. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're not gonna be able to have guys fight three times a night.
Well, you know what the PFL's doing? You know, the PFL's doing that.
But how are they doing it exactly?
So I was talking to Rick about it. So what he told
me, Story?
Yeah. So how it works is, so they have the regular season. I kind of like this. Is kind of cool. So they have regular season, and each win you get X amount of points, right?
Right.
So if you win a decision, you get 3 points. You win by submission, like in the second round, I think you get like 5 points.
So they have it
submission,
round by round,
rounds,
submissions,
yeah.
Knockouts.
So if you win in the first
so
round,
on.
6 points. I think in the second round, it's 5, and if you finish in the third, it's 4, but if it goes decision, you get 3.
Okay.
And then, you know, it's a combination. This is how you get in the tournament, where your seeding is, and, the, you know, blah, blah, blah. So then, so that's, you know, top whatever gets into the tournament, and then when you get into the tournament, the first round is you fight twice in one night, so...
What state are they doing this in?
I don't know.
I don't know.
I know they just had one in New York.
Yeah.
Was it in New York?
Yeah.
The first
on,
one.
On Thursday?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I didn't watch. But and then
I
know when Rick fights, he says that he's fighting in D.C. because I might be cornering him. So that's in D.C. But these are just the preliminaries. So I don't know where the actual tournament's going to be held. But he said, yeah, you'll fight twice in one night for the semis or for the quarters. In the semis, and then I think
they'll have the final on a different card.
Day. They'll do everyone. I think.
I think that's smart.
So
especially if you have the guys who make it are both kind of beat up.
Which, you know, it's like fuck, man. Because that now you have to get into strategy. What are you going to do? This and that. And he said that it's two 2-minute rounds. Two 5-minute rounds for each fight.
Ah, that's
so,
how they're doing it because
yeah.
they're going to be like considered exhibitions. I bet you
something like that. Yeah,
they
man,
don't
it's
go
tricky.
Your record, like
it's
the
tricky.
Ultimate Fighter.
I have no idea. I don't know if it's a record thing or what.
Something else we should look into.
Yeah, we should. I think it's interesting that they're going to have him fight twice in one night. And I was talking, you know, I feel bad because I brought it up to him. I'm like, fuck, man, like. You know, you start going through all the scenarios. Cause like, I know how I feel an hour after a fight, even if it's, you know, the fight only lasted a minute,
mm-hmm.
right? You feel everything still. Whatever landed, it hurts. Like,
well, not to mention like the mental exhaustion of you
exactly.
had a fight camp and you just had a fight. Like,
you just had a fight. Now you got to, okay, just stay warm. You got to get ready to go again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's going to be interesting. I mean, it's obviously that style, I think, is going to favor wrestlers. Like, if you're a strong wrestler grappler, it's going to be in your favor.
Maybe. I mean, you got to think, like, in a sense, it favors them. But also, if you're a strong wrestler, you're probably going to be in the, you know, you're going to be in the ring longer than the guy who's trying to.
Definitely.
You know what I mean?
But
if your cardio's not where it needs to be, that's a problem. And if it's points based on how you finish fights and stuff, and maybe you win all your fights, but you only win by decision because...
No, we're saying the regular season. Oh,
yeah.
That part doesn't matter, but I'm talking about when you get to the two fights. If you're a wrestler, that's going to be the best for you. The two fights in one night. Because if you can dictate taking them down...
Yeah.
Less damage or what, you know, what have you.
Yeah, and I guess your goal isn't to... You're not so worried about the main show anyway.
Yeah,
so,
you're not worried about the points.
Because you're just trying to get the two wins back to back.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, definitely could help. I mean, unless that person has incredible takedown defense, then you're kind of shit out of luck, right?
That's what I mean. It's kind of one of those, like, all right, well... It's interesting. I kind of dig it.
Yeah.
But, I mean, do I want to do that? Not really.
Right.
I don't want to fight multiple times in a night, you know?
Yeah, but it takes a certain kind of person, for sure.
I kind of feel like I'm a pussy compared to other fighters because, you know, like, other fighters are like, oh, man, this is cool. Cool. Old school style, you know, old school UFC. I don't want any part of that. There's other fighters who are down for bare-knuckle boxing. I'm not down for that.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to do that. There's fighters who like to get, you know, oh, let's have knees to the ground to ground opponent to the head. I don't want any part of that. Like, I like the rules we have now. Let's keep me safe.
Yeah. You know? Well, so this week they had or last weekend, I think it was, they had the first bare knuckle boxing card.
Yeah.
Did you see the pictures from that?
I saw it. I want no part of it.
Shit.
Yeah.
That was terrifying. There was so much blood.
That's exactly what they wanted.
I guess, man. That is some... I mean, that's
what happens, man. You get cut up when you're getting punched without any gloves on.
Yeah, I mean, and realistically, like, the effect of the punch isn't significantly greater when you if you have no glove or a little 4-ounce glove.
Yeah.
Like you're not making the shot that much stronger, but you are allowing that person's knuckles to bust up your forehead.
Exactly.
Man, that was gross.
Which is, you know, I didn't watch the event, but
I wouldn't want to watch it.
So
I don't know.
So it strictly was boxing, though, right? There's no takedowns.
Yeah, it was boxing.
Because there was a lot of MMA fighters in it. Yeah, I don't know. I know they had like something around their hands, but it didn't look like a full tape job.
Yeah, it didn't look like
they just taped
the
wrist or something.
Yeah, I mean, I think to keep the wrist from bending and breaking.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they had to put some sort of wrap a little bit, but
see, me, I have brittle hands, so I know for a fact my hand would break instantly.
Well, a lot of fighters have a problem breaking their hands. I mean, that's common.
Yeah.
You know, like, I can't imagine. I mean, that's the idea of the glove, is to protect the fighter's hand.
Yep.
I mean, that's why it was developed, you know? I mean, because when the UFC first came on, they weren't wearing gloves.
No. Yeah, then at a point, it became optional.
Yeah, it was optional, and some guys put them on, and most guys put it on to protect their hands.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't like, oh, yeah, I'm going to... Yeah. You know, I don't want to hit you as hard. That's obviously not the case.
How do you feel about, like, you know, when Joe Rogan talks about it and he starts talking about MMA and how we should do away with gloves and we should allow headbutts and kicking to, you know, downed opponents and stuff. Do you feel like, do you agree with what he says, or how do you feel about when you hear something like that?
I think part of it I agree with. I think the idea that there's all these like these rules that are based on conjecture. You know what I mean? Like you talk about that 6-12 elbow.
Yeah.
And the reason that's illegal, you've heard Joe Rogan say it a bazillion times, is, not to make up numbers, but that's what it feels like, is, there was a guy on an
breaking
athletic commission
ice.
And he saw, well, this guy was breaking bricks by doing that with his elbow. That'll crush your skull. When the rule is created because some dummy who doesn't know what he's talking about saw something on TV that he didn't like, that's crazy,
yeah.
Right? And my problem with certain rules is just that I don't think they make common sense.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, knees to the head of a grounded opponent, right? Like, if you're gonna make them illegal, like, you're really not creating a real fight scenario, for one.
Yeah.
And two, if knees to the head of a grounded opponent are legal, fighters are going to change their strategy. You know what I mean? You're not going to fight the exact same way. And this whole, like, 4 points of contact and 3 points of contact bullshit, look, the rule needs to be, if you have a knee on the ground, you cannot get kneed in the head. Other than that, you are fair game. Like, because I don't care if you put your fucking hands on the ground, you're just playing a game at that point. You're playing a rules game, and it's stupid. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't need that. So, like, I think some of the things he says are right. Like, kicks and knees to a grounded opponent, I don't think that should be outlawed. I don't think it's going to kill anybody. It will certainly stop fights faster. I mean, you're going to see people, you know, get fights stopped, because if someone gets you in a north-south position and starts throwing knees to your head, you might tap, or a ref might be forced to stop it. But, like, I think that's a part of what would make the game interesting, because mm-hmm. people aren't going to turtle up in that position anymore. They're going to be more likely to go to their back. Now, I don't think soccer kicks to your head should be legal. Like, you know, like yeah. you have to, there's a very fine line, and it would be hard to develop a set of rules that everyone would agree on. Mm-hmm. So we have to take the rules that we have in place, and we have to expand upon them in some way. And I think realistically, common sense is where it comes into play, right? Like, you need to get a group of people into a room together, like one guy from each athletic commission, and, you know, people vote on who the smartest guy in the room is, and they send that person, or gal for that matter, and they send that person down there, and they come up with a set of rules that makes a little more sense. I mean, there's certainly some things are lacking.
Yeah.
I don't think you need to take the gloves off of people. I think that's insane. You know, maybe they need to make gloves that cover the end of your fingers. You still allow you to manipulate your hands, but you know, go over the end of your fingers or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe the UFC needs to adopt a Bellator glove where it curls a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think that necessarily helps, because when a fighter puts their hand out and they want to open their hand up and their glove is forcing their hand a little forward, that's not good. But
yeah.
I don't know. There's nothing perfect, right? It's never going to be perfect. And so there's a million things that are lacking and a million things that are needed. But, you know, you take what you have and you expand upon it is what I think needs to happen. And the problem with this, like, oh, well, these guys have adopted the new rules and those guys haven't adopted the new rules, like, that needs to be wiped out. Like,
yeah.
Somebody has to get the athletic commissions together and agree across the board what the rules are. Like, that's all there is to it.
So you said something interesting that I wanted to comment on, because Joe Rogan also says this too. He's like, you know, it's trying to be as realistic to a fight as possible, right? Like, you're trying to make it as much as happen in a fight. That's where I disagree.
Yeah,
that's the reason why
saying that is kind of stupid. Now that you say it back, I hear that and I'm like, yeah, you're right.
It's a sport, right?
Yeah, it's a sport.
That's where I get so mad when Joe starts saying this, and I'm like, this is exactly what, you know, the problem was at the beginning, because you're just allowing all this chaos or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, if that's the case, we're going, okay, let's just make it as realistic as possible to a fight. Okay, allow me to fucking knee you in the dick. I'm going to gouge your eyes. I'm going to fish hook you. Fuck it. Because if we're in the streets, it's whatever, yeah, no, right?
You're getting hit with a brick if you're in the street.
Exactly. It's a street fight. Let's make it realistic.
I think saying it's more realistic to a fight is not really exactly what they mean to say. I think what they're trying to say is, you know, unarmed combat between two people in a room. But there has to be rules, right?
Exactly. I think my thing is
trying to make it more realistic. I'm not saying make it true to the fight, right? Because anyone who's been in a fight knows that's not going to happen.
Exactly.
I clearly remember there was a fight when I was a kid. There was this like 7-Eleven by my school.
Yeah.
And there's an alley behind it, and there's these two kids fighting. And this kid standing there, this young Mexican kid, he's like,
why is he
real
Mexican?
Tough. This is so funny, right? This is great.
Why can't he just be a kid? Why is it be Mexican?
Well, this will all tie together. And he's in a Hispanic gang.
Okay.
So like, this kid has a reputation for being like this real badass, right?
Yeah.
And he's picking on this kid. And he's picking on this young black kid. He's like really kind of like a loner.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nobody really fucked with him or bothered him. He was a nice guy.
He just kept to himself.
But he was picking on him because he was black.
Okay.
So he starts saying all these racial slurs to this kid.
Black on brown crime.
Well, he starts spouting all these racial slurs at this kid, and the kid is getting, like, you could see it. I mean, you could see his blood boiling. Mm-hmm. And like before he can react, the little Mexican guy runs up and throws a punch. And the other kid leans back, misses, like, the punch misses him, and he takes two steps back and runs forward and kicks this dude as hard as he can, square in the nuts.
Oh, shit.
Like, I'd never seen anything like it. It was like, man, it was like he was getting ready to kick a field goal 60 yards. Yeah. He just unloaded on this dude's ball sack. Yeah. This kid hits the ground, and the guy looks down at him, kicks him in the nuts again.
Oh.
So don't ever talk to me that way. And he just, like, ran off because he sees all this dude's homies coming. Like, you know, but it was funny because it was like this little guy was the tough guy and he was in this gang,
right?
Picking on this poor kid, and he got kicked right in the nuts. So I guess a real street fight, you could get kicked square in the nuts behind in an alley behind 7-Eleven.
Which, you know, then of course Rogan or someone's like, well, you can't do groin strikes. You can't do that. We can't allow groin strikes. We can't allow eye pokes, but let me just, you know, bludgeon your head with these kicks to the head or you know. I just think, you know, when everyone starts talking about this and that, about the rules, and, you know, it needs to be more realistic because that's what MMA was based off of, and blah, blah, blah. No, motherfucker, it's a sport, okay?
Yeah, it's a sport.
That's like basketball.
You have to think of a better way to say it, for sure.
Right, we should get rid of the rules in basketball because if you're playing on the court, well, then what are fouls? Like, what are, you know what I mean? It's not, to make it realistic, we're doing this as an entertainment. It's a sport, something that we've developed where our civilization can watch it and enjoy it, right, for what it is.
Well, it's mixed martial arts too, right?
Exactly.
You're putting together these different forms together.
Sure, there's different things that are effective that you can do. There's different types of chokes and hits and stuff that you can't do in MMA, but you can do in, you know, on the street that are effective. Correct. We know that they're effective. Cool. But it's a fucking sport.
Okay? Yeah, you're right. I think saying it that way is wrong.
Yeah, it's not. This is not fucking Thunderdome. All right.
But how sick would that be?
Well, yeah, it'd be cool, I guess, for those fucking criminals who want to do it. I'm not that animalistic, dude. Like, I don't like hurting people. I really don't. I get bummed out. Like every fight. Like when I knock someone out or something, I get fucking bummed out. Like it bumped, like certain people, not all of them,
not everybody.
Some of them I just jizz on, but other ones I'm like, fuck, man. Like,
yeah, you feel
I'm sorry. Like, I, you know, I had to do this. Like, I don't want to hit you again. You know, like I know you're out. I don't want to.
And there
you
are
again.
Some people who have that super animalistic quality where they just like keep going back at them, and they're
kill
it's
you.
Just chaos. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're seeing red. They flip the switch.
Yeah, I can get there. I 100% can. Yeah. Like, you know, before I get into a fight, like I tell myself, I'm like, let's see, like if this was Thunderdome, like if this was two guys walking in, this is old school, and only one of us can walk out, let's find out who's it gonna be. Is it gonna be me or is it gonna be you?
Yeah,
you know, but I don't know, man. Yeah. I don't want to see people getting their heads punted, like the whole old pride days. And I watch it, I'm like, fuck.
It's hard to see those stomps.
Yeah,
it's hard to see the stomps.
Roger,
the
you
kicks.
See Roger Huerta's fucking when he got punted.
Uh huh.
What the fuck, man? I want to tell that guy, hey, never fight again.
Yeah.
But at the same time, fight me. So
yeah, right. Yeah, I think there's a fine line, man, and it's hard. I realistically, you have to develop rules that I think that common sense dictate.
I think the rules that we have now are pretty good.
I think they're good. I think there's a couple of things missing. The number one thing I would change, like I can live without knees to the head of a grounded opponent.
Yeah.
I can live without that. Yeah. That's fine. But the way to define a grounded opponent. They fucked
that's
up
the thing.
When they changed it.
Wait, fine.
If
yeah,
you
that,
have
yeah.
a knee on the ground, you're a grounded opponent. If
I agree.
You don't,
I like that.
If
like
you
that.
Don't, you're not. You know what I mean? Like if your legs are not on the ground or your knee is not on the ground, like you're not a grounded opponent. Let's be real here. Like, you know, if you're sitting flat on your ass, you're a grounded opponent.
Yeah.
If you drop to one knee, you're a grounded opponent.
I like that.
Like and guys would do that right away. They drop to one knee, but that's not the position they want. You know, they
don't
want to lose the spot where someone gets to their back because they're playing the rules game. But you know, the 6-12 elbow could go away, but I really don't care
because
I don't think it's necessary. You've only seen it used a handful of times.
Talking about the PFL, actually, they don't allow elbows. That was a thing.
Well, that's important, right? For a fight, fight promotion where it's a league. essentially. Yeah, yeah. They have to get rid of elbows they don't because you don't want cuts.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, and then in the final, they'll probably allow them, would be my guess.
Maybe, yeah. Yeah.
More than likely.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, would imagine Makes perfect sense. Because didn't Bellator do that during their tournaments? They couldn't use elbows, but they could use forearms. And so guys were mashing forearms.
Yeah, I think the really old school days.
Yeah, old school days. And then also same thing with, what was that other fight league one they had?
IFL?
Yeah, IFL.
Did they?
Yeah.
That was in a ring too, which is, I don't know how I feel about rings.
Yeah, I'm not big on a ring, but whatever. Everybody's got their preference.
I've fought on a ring a couple times. I mean, I guess it's not that big of a difference. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not opposed to it, but for the grappling and whatnot, I don't know. There's a lot of shit that needs to get they gotta get looked at. It's weird.
Well, I mean, and I think that's part of the reason, like, you know, you're a professional fighter and even you don't have your mind made up on how you want it. You know what I mean? Like,
well,
I guess the rules are okay. I don't want to get, you know, I'm not saying you're being flip floppy. That's not what I'm trying to imply. I'm just saying like maybe this is one reason why mixed martial arts as a whole is not allowed to take that next step. You know what I mean?
Like, because there's
why it's plateaued where it has.
Yeah.
Because there's so many question marks. And, you know, when you think about the NFL and you think about the things that people don't like, and, you know, the NFL lost some viewership the last couple of seasons. And part of it is the rules, that it's gotten too rules heavy. And, you know, maybe that's part of it in MMA. Like, all of the rules make it a little bit murky, make it a little cloudy. You know,
I mean, you can't, like I said, it's commission to commission. So it's kind of like, okay, well, in California, you're allowed to do X. Mm-hmm. And in Michigan, you can't do X, you know? And that kind of makes it like, wait a minute, why isn't this guy doing this here? Or what, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, they try to do the whole, what do they call it? Is it universal?
Unified rules.
Unified? Mm-hmm. There you go. I should know this better. For being an athlete.
But I mean, that's the other thing is when you go to the promotion, you go to the rules meeting, you listen to the rules, you understand what's happening, you know. And it's got to be hard for a fighter too, because you get to a fight and anyone who's been to live fights, you hear in the crowd people yelling, elbow, knee, you know, they're yelling these things at you. And like in, you know, amateur fights here, you can't use elbows.
Do it.
And so like, I mean, this guy's in a perfect position to land a monster elbow and these people are screaming elbow at him and, you know, maybe his instincts take over and he does. Well, now you just disqualified yourself, man. Like, you don't want to do that. Not only that, like, this is an amateur fight. Maybe the guy across from you doesn't want to be a professional fighter. Maybe that guy just wanted to
try it
to
out.
Have that one fight in his life or her life where, you know what, I got in the cage and I did it.
Yeah.
You know, like maybe that's happening for that person. And now they got in there not expecting to get their face ripped open by your elbow. And they have a, you know, they're downstairs at the Rosen getting stitches.
Happens, man. Like, I've seen it.
It's part of the risk, I guess.
Yeah, I've seen it, you know, in sparring. It's kind of known. Don't throw elbows or knees without, you know, if you don't have the proper gear on. Mm-hmm. Even if you have knee pads on. Like, it's kind of like unspoken, but it's kind of like, don't be a dick with your knees. Like, don't just fucking throw them at my head. But there's some guys who can't control it, right? Like, oh, you know, there's people who are going to try to knock you out regardless. Yeah. And one time back in the old Sports Lab days, or Rose City days, Dario, he took down Freddie Bailey. They were jawing at each other, and Dario throws an elbow. Boom. Splits Freddie open. He's bleeding everywhere. There's blood all over the place. Cage, and you know, we had to stop it. And Freddie's yelling, "I die for this shit. I die." You know, he's screaming, "I die for this." Da da da. He doesn't die for this. He does not die for this sport. I will throw that out there because rarely see him there. But the point of the matter is, he's bleeding everywhere, right? And you know, it was just one of those instances where, you know, the elbow cut him open. And little fun tidbit for that is, Me and Dave Jansen were supposed to go spar next, right? I think Dave is getting ready to fight. It was right before Will Brooks, I believe. And so it was whatever fight he had before. Oh, it was Rick Hahn, right? He goes to fight Rick Hahn. And he looks at me. He's like, yeah. He's like, you could tell, like, the blood, like, excited him. And he's like,
he got this, a little bloodlust.
Yeah, he got this bloodlust. I'm like, and I'm looking at Dave. I'm like, hey, man, we're just, you know, this is just training. Like, we don't have to take this serious. He's like, I'm pumped. Let's do this. You know, he's got this crazy, like, Dave look. And I'm like, oh, fuck. And I go in there and we're sparring. And I tell you what, he beat the shit out of me that day. Like, I remember literally there was a point I'm against the cage and, he fucking, He like, I don't know if he kneed me or uppercut me or something. He hit me just clean on the jaw. My mouth was open, gasping for air. And I bit through my tongue. I was like, dude, it was the worst. And I'm bleeding everywhere. My nose is bleeding. There's blood all over the cage already. And Dave is just loving it. You know, he has this look in his eyes and he's just beating the fuck out of me. And afterwards, I'm like, hey, man, I get there was blood. Like, can we, you know, let's chill out here. You just fucking murdered me in there for 15 minutes. I got a concussion and shit. I didn't get a concussion, but you guys get it. CTE is real.
Yeah. Man, that's intense.
Man, there's just times, man, you walk into the cage and there's just something in the air, you know? It's mm-hmm. just, you just know something's like, today's that day. We're going to war.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's like that. I think it's like that in every sport, you know? Like,
I'm sure.
There's always a guy in practice who goes a little too hard.
Yeah.
Or like, yeah. if you're in a jiu-jitsu gym and a wrestler walks in and he's never done jiu-jitsu before, you better believe that guy's gonna go
he's way harder. Yeah.
And everybody's like, yeah, chill out, dude.
Chill
like,
out, bro.
Like, yeah, we're just drilling here, guy. Like, this is not the state finals.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, exactly, right?
But they're always just like,
yeah,
just bulldogging people.
Dude, they're the worst, man. I fucking hate people. I hate fighters now that I think about it. I really do, man. They're the worst. Like, hanging out with a fighter is boring as shit.
You know, everybody asks me, like, people will ask me a lot, like, you know, what are fighters like? And I always tell people that fighters are the nicest people. Like, I don't run into a lot of fighters who are total dickheads. I think, yeah, for the most part, fighters are just nice people. And I think part of that is they know that if you wanted to fight, they would fight. You,
yeah,
know what I mean? Like, yeah, like, there's no threat involved when you mm-hmm. approach them, where like other people, like, you know, you might, yeah, walk up to a dude at the bar to say,
so
what's
they gotta
up
kinda like posture, yeah,
and they posture on, yeah, you. But a fighter's just like, hey, what's up, man? Yeah. like they don't care. I think that plays into it, because some of the nicest people, man, fighters I run into,
some of them, but again, boring as fuck. A lot of them don't have a personality, you know. It's just kind of like, oh yeah, train, and you know, I'm into this, and I'm into games. It's like, okay, cool. You know, and then there's fighters like me who, in the back of my mind, I'm always reminding myself, like, I could kill you if I wanted to. Like, it's a douchey thing, but I do say, I'm like, I could kill this guy. Like my favorite thing to do is go to 24 and to look at, like, you know, the big bodybuilders or whatever, and like kind of walk past them and stare them in the eye the whole time as I walk back. Because normally, I bet you most people, when they look at them, they look down, you know, or there's a walking by. Because all those guys, they all like to posture and look around and have a mean mugging on their face. And I like to just stare them down and just look at them. And just hoping one of them, just one day, I just want one buff bodybuilder guy to fucking chest up to me. Just so I can beat the shit out of him. And I'm like, you got all these muscles for nothing. For nothing. Look at me. Look at this. I don't even have abs right now. And just fucking elbow you in the face. I just want to get in a fight.
Yeah, you're ready for fight time.
I'm looking for a fight on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah.
It's kind of fucked up. Like, I really am. Like,
I daydream about winning the lottery. Dude, Jake daydreams about getting in fights.
I wake up every morning, I'm like, I wish a motherfucker would. Today's the day. I want to fight so bad.
That's how Little Bugatti was born.
Little Bugatti.
Wish a motherfucker would.
Wishing motherfuckers would.
I like about being around bodybuilder people when you run into them.
Yeah.
Is I feel tall around them.
Do you?
Yes, they're all short.
Some of them, yeah. There's one specific guy.
Lots of bodybuilders are short guys, man. They got that. They got that Napoleon syndrome complex. Yeah, and I've been 5'8" since like between like 7th and 8th grade or 8th and 9th grade. Like, I hit 5'8" and I stopped growing. I haven't grown even a centimeter since. And like, you know, I'm just not a tall guy. Nothing I can do about it.
Yeah,
I'm not like a little guy. I'm just not a tall guy.
You're an average guy.
Yeah.
Average. It's fine. Nothing wrong with being average.
Yeah, it's cool. I'm average. But, you know, I'm fucking gorgeous, so at least I have that going for me.
There you go,
man. I got
this
moneymaker. That's why I'm not a fighter.
It's all in the fucking...
Gotta protect this investment.
It's all in the goatee, man. That's where it's at.
Well, you know, since I'm bald, I gotta play with my facial hair, you know? Like, sometimes I grow the big-ass, bushy beard. Sometimes I do the mustache.
I would like to see that. I would like to see you just full-on grow Grizzly Adams
beard. Oh, my God, man. I used to have a beard that was out to...
Really?
Yeah, man. My beard was huge.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, I'll see if I can find a picture and show you. It was huge. It wasn't even that long ago. I had a little beard going, a little handlebar mustache.
No way.
But my facial hair grows so fast, man. Yeah. I grow a full beard in like 2 weeks, no really? Problem. Yeah. Yeah. So, but being bald, I got, you know, play with what I've got, you know, yeah. gotta do something with my hair, you know, change it yeah. up.
I'm worried about the day where I go bald, because I don't know if I have like a weird shaped head or not. So,
man, I was always really worried about it. My dad, when I was a kid, my dad made this bet with me that I would go bald, you know. And yeah. I was like, nah, man, it's from the mother's side. Fuck you, old man. I'm not going bald. But you know what? That's a bunch of bullshit, because yeah. my mom's dad is really old and he still has hair. All his sons still have hair. Yeah, they got a little. They're thinning, but they've got hair. But you know who's bald? My dad. You know who's bald? Every one of his brothers. You know who else was bald? Their dad. You know who else was bald? His dad. And his dad before him was also bald. So that is a strong ass gene.
There you go.
So if I have a kid, man, I'm sorry, bro, but you're probably gonna be bald.
My dad, he's starting to bald a little bit. Like, he's starting to bald. Like, it's thinning out, right? Like, eventually, he's just gonna have to shave it. But
that's my thing. As soon as you go bald, just tap, man. Be a lifer. Yeah. Get that bick and go.
He's
for
able
it.
To still pull off his hair. Like, it's not that bad a thinning. But he keeps saying to me too, like, oh, you're gonna go bald before I do. Da da da. He keeps saying I'm gonna go bald because I have a big forehead. I don't know. But I mean, I'm doing okay so far. I don't know. I don't know when I'm gonna go bald. I hope not.
You'll be all right.
But I'm thinking in my mid-40s.
I feel like you would have already started if you were, because, man, I started losing my hair young, and now it's a little bit. But you have thick hair on top, man. You'll be all right. My shit started thinning out. I had thick hair. It started thinning out, and it went quick. I mean, I've been shaving my head since I was, like, 21. I was
done. Really?
Yeah, man. Yeah. It was all over.
Do you know who is going bald, who refuses to accept their balding? Ryan Walker.
Yeah,
it's my favorite thing.
Some people won't tap out to baldness, man. Some people just won't do it. I get a buddy the same way. We were just poking fun at him for going bald for years, and he won't. You know, he just won't admit it.
I just like to just every now and then I'll just chime in about his hair, just to, you know, deflate him a little bit, you know, and then he'll come back to me with like that's all we do is just rip on each other. Me, Ricky, and Walker. That's all we do, is talk shit. And Walker's big thing against me is he goes, I was talking to Ronnie today, because you know who Ronnie Marks is?
Yeah.
Brazilian. He's like, I was talking to Ronnie, and he brought you up, and he said that you should go down to Brazil and get a tummy tuck. Get cut up some. He's like, they do a really good job down in Brazil, and they... he's like... and, like, you know, it's funny. And then I don't know if he's serious, if Ronnie really keeps bringing... I think Ronnie really did bring it up to him, is the thing.
Probably just talking shit, though.
No, I think Ronnie's being serious. Yeah, he's like, yeah, you know, you cut off some extra skin or whatever. Because, you know, I was a big boy, so I have this extra skin whenever, you know, when I get down.
Whatever.
Yeah, I don't give a fuck. But, like, it started to fuck with me. Like, I got mad for a minute. I was like, I'm about to fucking be like, what's up, Ronnie? Like, what are we doing here? Like, you son of a bitch. But, yeah, I don't know why I told you guys that.
You know, Ronnie Marks is a deceptively large dude.
He's fucking giant.
Like, when you get up next to him, you're like, man, you could be a heavyweight. You are big.
He should be.
Yeah.
When he went to Russia, right? Me and Chell were like having like a bet. Like, is he going to make weight? He was 240, like 240, 235 when he flew out to Russia the week of his fight.
And what was he fighting at?
205.
Okay. He 205 at least.
He made 205.
Hasn't he fought at 185?
Yeah. Guess who he fought?
Huh.
Yoel.
Ew.
Guess who he lost to?
Superman, Yoel.
But he was beating the shit out of Yoel until he got clipped in the third round.
That sounds like par for the course.
Right, yeah. So he was beating the Yoel's ass, and then boom, he got clipped.
Did Ronnie sign with PFL?
Yes.
Yeah,
so he's in the
PFL.
Tournament.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like he should get a better shake with the UFC, but...
Yeah, I mean, if you look at his... you know, he was in there. He lost to Yoel, and I want to say he lost to one other guy who's really good too.
Yeah,
like he had like two losses against guys who are studs now that weren't studs then. Like, people didn't know.
It's tough, but also he had like he had camp changing issues. Like, if you're moving from Brazil to America, like, you have things going on. Like, that's
well, what really fucked him was when he signed with World Series of Fighting.
Yeah. That did, yeah.
Well, they just held him out of his contract.
Like, yeah.
They weren't giving him a fight and blah, blah, blah. I don't remember what the reasoning was. But
they didn't have so many cards, right?
Like, well, he was supposed to fight David Branch for the lightweight title or light heavyweight title. And for like a year, they want to get him a fight. And then he wasn't allowed to fight anywhere else. So like he was in this weird like
thing. What's he supposed to do? He's in limbo.
Yeah, then finally he was able to get out of it. And then he did a couple King of the Cage fights and, you know, did the Russia thing, whatever. But yeah, Ronnie, he's that guy. Like you see in the gym, you're like, oh, there's levels to this shit.
Yeah, he's super talented. I
so good.
I hope that he gets a fair shake with the PFL or
so heavy,
you know, or catches on, because I've heard him hit pads and it's pretty terrifying, man.
Nicest guy too. He's great.
Super.
I love Ronnie. He's a good guy.
Yeah, good guy.
He's great,
That's what it is. Fighters are nice guys.
He's a good guy.
Yeah, nice people, you fighters.
Yeah, well, you know, some of us.
Yeah, some of you some for sure. Are.
I don't know if I'm considered nice. People consider me an asshole, I think, right?
Maybe.
Is that the word on the street? You tell me the truth.
I don't know. I guess I haven't really asked people what they think of you specifically.
I figured people
would have
told
you. But I think part of that is that we're friends, so I don't really give a shit what other people think of, you know what I mean?
Good point.
Like, unless you were like a racist or a creepy molester or something, then obviously we have problems. But, you know.
I'm not a creepy molester, I promise you that much, but the other one. That's still to be seen. Because there's some colors out there I don't vibe with.
Yeah.
If I see a red person who's red, we're not friends.
Yeah.
You know, purple, I'll think about it.
You think about it? I'm into green. Green's my favorite color.
Is it?
Yeah.
Why?
You know, it always has been.
Isn't it weird that people have favorite colors?
Yeah, it is weird, but I gravitated towards it. Like, even from a little kid, I remember when I was a kid, like people were like, "Oh, like all these kids that I was friends with, like blue," and I wanted so badly just to have blue be my favorite color, just so I could. But no, I just couldn't do it, man. Green was my shit.
See, me, it was red. Everyone was into red, but you know what's weird? Actually, I was raised to hate red. Yeah, I know, right? Dad was he grew up in LA. Crip guy, right? Grew up in a Crip neighborhood.
There you go.
Yeah. So I was bred to hate red. I would never wear. I didn't start wearing red until I was maybe a senior in high school. I was like, why am I so against red? This is so stupid. I'm not in a gang. I don't care about gangs, right? Like my dad now wears red, but like it was a thing. Like don't wear red. Like you'd call you a slob or some shit. Like, you know. Like that's looking funny. Looking back on it, I'm like, oh, this is how racism is. Like you're grown up and bred into hating something.
Yeah.
And that's how, you know.
Yeah. I didn't wear red just because of my complexion, just because I'm so fair skinned and red hair and stuff. I just thought it would look stupid. And then I started wearing red and everybody's like, man, you look good in red. Like, oh, right on. I started wearing red. But I'll wear any color, but I don't really care.
You know.
Yeah. But I'm an old man, so what do I care?
I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't.
Who are you trying to impress now, right?
Yeah, no, it's locked down. I'm good.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Gives a fuck. I don't give a shit anymore.
Yeah, I don't care about this extra 40 pounds.
She's stuck with me.
That's right. As long as I don't get much bigger, I'll be all right.
Yeah, you'll be okay. You guys will work it out.
Right on. I hope everybody enjoyed this week's episode. I don't really know what we covered. That was kind of a
It was kind of a random one. I mean,
a little bit of a whirlwind. But you know what I will say?
Yeah,
I got a compliment this week. I had somebody tell me that our podcast is better than Chael's podcast.
Oh yeah,
they said who's that that annoying guy Chael has on? And then now he doesn't have him on.
Jacob.
He's like now he doesn't have him on. He's just gonna ramble about the same thing for an hour.
I know, right?
And I was like, well. God damn. Yeah. Better than Chael. Sounds good to me.
I almost sent Chael a text. I was like, hey, if you need a replacement for Jacob, like I'll do three podcasts in a week, you know? I'll be the Brian Callen of the podcast world.
Just tell him that I'll come with you, then we can have a tandem that'll
there
work.
There we
out
go.
Well.
Yeah, we'll just fuck.
We'll go in there, we'll just plug our show on his show all the time.
We'll just call it The Writer and the Fighter. You're welcome.
The Writer and the Fighter. And Chael.
And Chael. And this other guy.
Yeah, you might have heard of him.
Yeah.
But anyway, guys, I think that'll do it for this week. Be sure to hit us up on social media. Jake is at Uber Smitty on all social media.
It'll read as Little Bugatti.
By the way. This Little Bugatti. I'm David Golden MMA on Twitter and Facebook. Please remember to subscribe, rate, and review if you haven't already. It would be a big help to us. And yeah, thanks again for listening.